Good morning. Our scripture for today is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her, and those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens, and by his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. You may be seated.
At this time, we are going to take some time to pray. We want to pray for our young people in Idaho as they're serving with Youth with a Mission. I did get a chance to talk to Seth yesterday, and things are going really well for our young people. They're really having a good time in learning how to do missions, and the mission work itself is going very well. And so we praise the Lord for that. We want to pray for Kirsten Virginius and Welcome Week with InterVarsity, that it would be a great beginning for them. For Dan and Nancy Thomas and Ethnos 360 and their ministry to 140 lifelong missionaries in their work. We want to pray for Jeanette Olson as she's healing from her surgery. It went well. And for Jim as he serves and helps his wife out. We want to pray for Carol Clement and family as they've lost a sister and aunt and all of the connections there. For Michaela Kulo, who is Carolyn Haughey's granddaughter and has going through some malaria treatment at this time on the mission field. Pam Rooney's mother, Barb, is going through some of the tough end-of-life issues and will be at Little Fork. And then we want to continue to pray for Skip. Apparently, he also has Lyme's disease at this point, so we want to pray for him. Let's go into a time of prayer. Holy Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you that our young people are serving in Idaho at this time with Youth with a Mission. We pray that it would continue to go well, that they would be able to shine the light of Christ there. We pray for all of their travels as they will be returning this week. We pray for safety and protection. We also pray for the leaders, that you would use them in a mighty way. And Lord, we pray for Kirsten and InterVarsity as they will be starting Welcome Week at St. Cloud. We would pray that it would be a dynamic time of receiving international students and also the students from our country. Lord, we would pray that they would be receptive to the hope of InterVarsity of Christ as they share him there. And we pray for Dan and Nancy as they serve with Ethnos 360 in Florida. We would pray that they would be a tremendous blessing to lifelong missionaries that have served you faithfully, that they would continue to feel the call in their life to share Christ with one another and the community there. And Lord, we do pray for those that are hurting and grieving and needing healing in their life. We pray for Jeanette. We would pray that you would continue to bring healing to her life and protect her. Be with Jim, as he also needs your healing touch. We pray for Michaela, as she is suffering with malaria. We would pray that the treatment for malaria would go extremely well and that she would be healed. And Lord, we pray for Carol, as she is grieving the loss of her sister, Linda. Comfort her and the family as they go through this time of loss. We pray for Skip, who is suffering with Lyme's disease. We would pray for healing for his body, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray for Pam Rooney as her mother is going through this tough time of end-of-life issues. We pray for Barb that you would give her good days and good contacts for Pam and the family. And Lord, as she settles into a new home in Little Fork, comfort her, Lord. And now as we look at your word, as we explore what it means to seek and find wisdom, help us to be faithful. Help us to know how to become more faithful and have your wisdom to live life here on earth. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this is the second week of our series on Be Wise. And today we're going to look at how to find wisdom. But we've all been there when we've looked for something that we just cannot find. We know we put it in a box and we're sure we put it on the shelf in the garage, in that box, but for some reason we can't find the thing we're looking for. Has anyone else ever been there? I mean, we're really definite. It's in that box, but it's not there. And so physical things sometimes are hard to find, but I think spiritual things are even harder to find. And I think wisdom is one of those elusive things that is almost nearly impossible to find. And yet here we have God in the book of Proverbs giving us a command to find wisdom, to gain understanding. And let's be honest, our world truly needs wisdom and understanding. And if anyone should have it, it should be us. Because we know the Father of wisdom, who wants to give it to us. And yet such wisdom is rare and seldom found, and it's really something that we should pursue with our lives. Because if we do, we discover that we can have peace, we can have grace, we can have blessing in our lives. So today we're going to look seriously at the command that blessed are those who find wisdom and those who gain understanding. And so I humbly present to you five ways that the Bible suggests that we can find wisdom and gain understanding. The first is that we are to desire wisdom with all your might. So what does this mean? In Proverbs 4:8, it says, prize her, and it often uses a female pronoun to describe wisdom. Prize her, wisdom, highly, and she will exalt you, she will honor you if you embrace her. In the Hebrew culture, to honor something was to put something at its highest priority in your life. And so what the Word of God is saying here is we're supposed to put the seeking of wisdom as the highest priority of our lives. It's of utmost importance. The pursuing of wisdom is not something, though, that happens by accident. It's something that happens when we make it a top priority. To say we want something is vastly different than saying we wish for something. For example, I would like to lose 15 to 20 pounds. Now, I can wish for that all I want, but it probably isn't going to happen until I make an all-out full commitment to making it happen. And so we can say we want wisdom, but we have to also make it an all-out commitment. To prize something is to make something so important that we're willing to make the sacrifices to get something. Now, I remember when I was a kid at the Five and Dime, although there's no such thing as a Five and Dime anymore, is there? Because what could you buy with a Five and Dime, or a nickel and a dime today? But I remember going into the store and seeing this beautiful bike. It was green and yellow. Can you imagine the color of the bike being green and yellow for me? Well, I love this bike, and I wanted it immediately. And so I did what any little kid would do. Mom, Dad, can you get me that bike? To which they responded, no, that bike costs way too much money. And then they said stuff like, but you know what? If you work really hard, you can earn it. And so I had a decision to make. Was mowing all those lawns, taking all of that time, worth it? Was not spending money on a candy bar here or doing this activity and sacrificing those things worth it? I had a choice to make. Was that bike top priority for me? And so as we look at wisdom, we have to decide, is it worth it to make the sacrifices to get it? And let's be honest, we live in a day and age when making sacrifices and delaying our gratification for something is not something that happens very often. And yet God is saying, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth far more than silver and gold and jewels. But you have to work for it. You have to desire it. Make a commitment for it. Wisdom is not something that comes easy. It comes at a price. As it says in Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, "My son or daughter, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." We have to desire wisdom with all of our heart, which means we need to make sacrifices to get it. And God is like a good parent. God doesn't just shell out wisdom because he could if he wanted, but he also knows that sometimes if something is really going to be possessed or owned, it requires the journey of earning it. Because that, you know, that bike was a lot more precious when I actually had to pay for some of it myself. And so is wisdom. The second aspect of wisdom, or the way to find wisdom, is this. Wisdom is found in the Bible. Which means what? It means we need to be people of the Word. And we've sung about the Word already this morning quite a bit, and that's why we chose those songs, is to encourage us to become more and more people of the Word. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." If you've attended this church for any length of time, you know that we encourage people to be people that read their Bibles. Meaning that you should be more than just people who come on Sunday morning and hear the pastor talk about the Bible, but that you need to do something on your own when it comes to the Word. You see, hearing the Word of God is just a little bit of how you're going to get wisdom. In fact, when you think about it, how wise can you be when you only hear the Word of God preached? Not much. But the Bible says that this about itself, we're to read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, and also do it. How wise can a person be if they just occasionally open their Bible to read about it, and then you read only one verse? Now think about this. If you're going to have surgery, and it's a very delicate surgery, but, you know, the doctor you're going to only occasionally, you know, studies about surgery, how confident would you be? I think you want a doctor that is very studious and prepares himself for that surgery. And I think God would like his followers, his believers, to be people who are in the Word, because we're told that when we are, we'll be wise. Do we really expect ourselves to be wise without the Word of God? And let's be honest, we live in a day and age where we have more access to the Word of God than ever, especially in the Western culture of Canada and U.S. Probably most of us in this room have 3, 4, or more Bibles that we have access to. If you don't have a Bible and you want a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. But we need followers of Jesus that are in the Word if they want to be wise. The truth is that when someone else is just the one presenting the Bible to you, you're going to have so very little understanding of God's Word. I love one of my favorite passages, and I say that every week, don't I? But in Acts 17:11, you've heard this one before, how wise some of the early believers in the church were. "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message from Paul with great eagerness and examined the scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true." They didn't just take it verbatim, even though the Apostle Paul would go on to write several books of the New Testament, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit. They went and studied it for themselves, which I would encourage you to do. Don't just say, well, Pastor Darren said it. Make sure it's in the Word of God. Today, people spend way too much time learning about the Bible from someone else. Maybe it's the internet, but they don't pick up their own Bible to read it for themselves. I will offer this also as a word of warning. Your personal understanding or interpretation of Scripture is not Scripture. Every time we pick up that book and read it for ourselves, if we're honest, we bring a personal bias to it because we grew up being told what to think the Bible says. Take the time to read it and really study it and analyze it for yourself. We need a more humble approach towards Scripture and not a dogmatic approach that leans and relies on those personal biases. We need to really delve into it to try to understand it from a clear perspective. The third thing that we need to do is to find wisdom, is to pray for wisdom. Solomon and Daniel are two examples of asking God for wisdom. Solomon, when he was going to be appointed the king of Israel, was asked, what do you want to be the king? And if you remember, you remember this in 1 Kings 3:11. Because you've asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern, which is another way of saying wisdom, what is right. Behold, now I do according to your word. King Solomon asked for wisdom to rule the nation of Israel. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, actually he was very wise, but he did not consider himself wise. According to Daniel 2:30, he admitted that he had no wisdom. But seven verses before, this is what Daniel prayed for. To thee, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for thou hast given me wisdom and strength, and has made known to me what we asked of thee. He prayed that and thanked God for the wisdom that God gave him. In James 1:5, a very short verse, you all probably have heard of that at some point in your time, but I would encourage you to make this your prayer. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Ask God for wisdom. God, give me the wisdom I need in this particular situation. Give me the understanding I need. And then in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. A lot of times this passage of Scripture is misused, and it's like, well, God, give me a new car. I'm asking you, so now you should give me a new car. I don't think that's what this passage is saying, but I think what it's saying is this: ask me for the spiritual need in your life, and I will give it to you. And I'm pretty confident that if you ask God for wisdom, he will graciously and generously give it. Now, the fourth one will come as a surprise to you. This fourth way to get wisdom will shock you. And what is that fourth way? Think about your coming death. The reason why I say this is because it's biblical. In Psalm 90:12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. When you hear, well, think about your death and that will give you wisdom, you kind of go, what? But I think there's a reason for that. Because when we realize that our 80 plus years or so is all we're going to have on earth, we get a different perspective. We get an eternal perspective, and we start to have a greater view of the kingdom of God. And we have this greater view, we have greater wisdom. Because we realize that what we do now is very important. Just imagine if we lived every day as if this was our last day on earth. The things we might choose to do would probably be different than the things we would choose on a normal, everyday life. But if we have a perspective that this is the last day God has given me, we probably would make sure we do something pretty special. We'd want to make sure our family knows how much we love them, and that if they know Jesus, we'll see each other again. We'll probably make that a priority. And so if we focus on our impending death, and we're all going to die unless Christ returns, we will have wisdom. The fifth and last one that I offer you is this, and there's probably more. Jesus is the wisdom you need. In the introduction to the letter of 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter, we discover this about Jesus in verses 24 and 30. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And it is because of him that you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. As I was pondering those words, I found John Piper say this about these very words, or this chapter. Others have spoken truth, he writes, but he is the truth. Others have pointed the way to life. He is the way and the life. Others have given promises, but all the promises of God find their yes in him. Others have offered God's forgiveness. Jesus bought it by his own death. Therefore, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. To know and love and follow this Jesus is to own the treasure of ultimate and eternal happiness. Therefore, the command, get wisdom, means first and foremost, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom. So really what we have to ask ourselves if we want wisdom is, do we have Jesus? Do we know Jesus personally? Now, you may have a shadow of wisdom of sorts apart from Jesus, but without Jesus you cannot really have wisdom. Wisdom without Jesus is like having a bucket of air. Now you have a bucket, and you might think you have something in that bucket, but really there's nothing in that bucket. Knowing Jesus means you can put something in that bucket. Knowing that God, through Jesus, has instilled himself into your life. And Kirsten is talking about InterVarsity, and all these young people go off to college, and, you know, some of those professors are super smart. They're brilliant. And they will tantalize our young people as they go away to college with all of their intelligence. And as I said last week, intelligence is not the same as wisdom. And we unfortunately see it every year that a young person goes away to college and they lose their faith in the sea of academia, because they're tantalized by intellect. And they lose the wisdom of knowing Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, it says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." This is not to say that you cannot learn anything from higher education, for you surely can. But in the process of learning, sometimes people have become fools. And so they cannot answer the real, more important questions. They might be able to build a rocket that can go to Mars, but they cannot answer the questions of, what is the meaning of life? Who am I? What happens when I die? And is there a God? There is wisdom that exceeds the intelligent. James 3:17 through 18 talks about that wisdom. It says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So how do you find wisdom? Know Jesus. Have a personal relationship with Jesus. On the back of the bulletin, it talks about the ABCs of becoming a Christian, the ABCs of coming to know Jesus. Admit that you are a sinner, that you're really not very wise on your own. B, believe that Jesus is the source of wisdom, that he died on the cross so that you could have wisdom. C, confess your faith in Jesus, that you want to know him and experience the wisdom that only he can give. Now, I changed it to fit our topic of wisdom. Jesus can give far more than wisdom for your life. As we conclude, so what are the ways we can find wisdom? Desire wisdom with all your might. Wisdom is found in the Bible. Pray for wisdom. Think about your coming death. And Jesus is the wisdom you need. Let's pray. Holy Father, we come to you this morning. We come to you as people who are not wise, but people who are foolish in so many ways. Help us to desire wisdom with all of our heart and mind and soul. Lord, help us to be people that don't just hear the Bible occasionally, but spend time reading your word, studying it, meditating and memorizing it, and then living it out. Lord, help us to pray daily for wisdom from above that you promised to give. Lord, help us to think of our lives as short here on earth so that we have an eternal kingdom perspective. And Lord, help us to know you, the giver of all wisdom. As you gave Jesus to us, help us to receive Jesus and have the wisdom only he can give. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.